Our great God, we want to pray with Moses that bold prayer that you would show us your glory this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So Psalm 119, verse 153. Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. This is God's word to us this morning. Now, we're spending the first few weeks of 2020 following on from and building on our verse for the year 2020, which is this, 1 Peter 2, verse 2 to 3. Does anyone remember it off by heart? Go on then, Tyler.
Like newborn infants crave pure spiritual milk, that by it they grow up in salvation, now that we have tasted the good news of God.
That the Lord is good. Brilliant. Round of applause for Tyler. Good job. Thank you. Now, the image here is one of milk. God's word, the Bible, is to us what milk is to newborn babies. Absolutely crucial to help us grow up in our salvation. So the aim of these past few weeks has been to get us craving the word of God like babies crave milk. And so we've talked quite a lot about fried chicken. We've actually got a couple of people here from Kentucky this morning. So Clint and Ali, welcome Clint and Ali. They're going to be with us for the next 3.5 months or so, but from Kentucky. So you'll be pleased that we've been talking a lot about fried chicken. Now the reason for that, if you remember, you might not, you just might remember the fried chicken, but it's because we've been talking about how you crave something. The way that you crave and desire something is when you get a taste for how good and how delicious that thing is, like fried chicken. And so over these past few weeks, that's what we've been trying to do as we've, as it were, sampled the flavours of Psalm 119. And we've seen there is so much good stuff in there, so much richness about God's word that we've learned about. We've seen that God's word is the answer to our biggest problem, the problem of sin. We've seen that God's word is everything we need when we are struggling. Last week we saw that God's word is a light, something that guides us and shows us the way that we should go. And today there's something even better, or something just as good. And the reason that it's maybe even better than everything we've seen so far is because the thing that we're going to learn today, the flavour that we're going to get our taste buds around, is something which is not only good in and of itself, but it actually strengthens and confirms and undergirds everything that we've seen so far. It's there in verse 160, which is the verse that we've just been learning together. Have a look. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. God's word is true and eternal. God's words are true and always true. In God's word, there are absolutely no lies, nothing deceitful, no half-truths. God's word, if you look on the back at the label, it doesn't have an expiry date. There is no best before. There is no part of God's word which doesn't really work or doesn't really hold up. There is no time when God's word ceases to apply. God's words are true and eternal. They are totally trustworthy. That's the truth that I want us to rub into our hearts and into our lives today. That this book is more than a book. And that the words of God found in these pages are totally trustworthy. We can put all of our weight onto the word of God. In 2015, Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen, you know them well, of course. Maybe you don't. Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen, they decided to climb up the Dawn Wall of El Capitan. You might have seen El Capitan before. There is. Yeah. It's a famous piece of rock. It's basically a 3,000-foot sheer cliff of granite, which rises up out of Yosemite National Park. And it's very famous, very popular. Loads of people have climbed up El Capitan before. It's very popular with climbers. But the Dawn Wall is a particular route that had never been done before. And it was actually considered to be the hardest rock climbing route in the world. And it took these two guys 19 days to climb up this sheer cliff. Which begs the question, where did they sleep? And here's the answer. If we flip forward. Thank you. Here's the answer. They slept on one of these, which I think is called a porter ledge or something like that, which is basically, if you can see, is a tent which hangs off the sheer cliff. There it is again. This is what they slept on, thousands of feet up in the air for days on end. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really like the look of that. I'm not sure I would sleep very well if I was in one of those porter ledges. But look how relaxed he is. Look how chilled he is. And the reason he can be so relaxed and so confident is because he knows how good his equipment is. He knows that the rope is going to hold his weight. So even though he finds himself in this, what is a precarious situation, potentially very dangerous, yet he can totally rely, he can put all of his weight on this equipment, knowing that it's going to hold his weight. He can completely have complete confidence in, you know, even when they fall, and they do, because when they're climbing up new parts of this route, they don't get it right every time, and they will fall, but he knows that no matter how hard he falls, the rope is going to take his weight. It is totally trustworthy. And so it is with the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God is even better because just occasionally a piece of equipment might fail. But look again at verse 160. All of your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. We can stake our life on it. They know from theory and from practice that they can totally trust their equipment. And we know in theory and in practice that we can totally stake our life on the word of God. It is totally trustworthy. And from the rest of this stanza, the rest of this verse, we see that means that we can have complete confidence in two particular areas. The first is very simple. We can have complete confidence in God's word. Flick it up on the screen. There you go. This is having a tricky time again. But that's okay. We've only got one more slide to go. Complete confidence in God's word itself. Now, we've spent enough time in Psalm 119 to know that the writer of the psalm is not having a particularly easy time. And maybe that's good news for some of us here this morning. Maybe you're not having a particularly good time either. Maybe there are challenges. We've discussed and prayed for some of them already this morning. We know that the psalmist is going through a time of struggle. It's not Psalm 119 is not like a poem that he wrote at the beach on his summer holiday. He's going through times of suffering and struggle. And we see that again here in this particular section. Look at verse 153. He says, "Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise." He's being pursued and persecuted by those that he describes in this section as the wicked or the foes or the faithless. He's being pursued, and it's not just kind of like school playground bullying. It's not like teasing. This is something which is serious, deadly serious. So much so that he gets to that point where he has to cry out, "Preserve my life." That's how bad things have got. He is under so much pressure that it feels like his life is ebbing away, and he cries out for salvation. He cries out for restoration and revival and renewal. "Preserve my life," he cries. He's in a bad situation. But he is not without hope. Notice how he prays for help. Notice the way in which he cries out, because he prays according to God's word. He prays in line with the hope that is found in the scriptures. Verse 154. Listen carefully. "Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise." 156. "Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws." Do you see? Because God's word is totally trustworthy, he has complete confidence. Even though he finds himself hanging off a sheer wall on the edge of disaster, he has hope of salvation. He knows the rope is going to hold. God's words are true and they are eternal. They are true and they are always true. And so he knows, he can say, "Lord, if you have said that you are going to preserve my life, I can be sure that is exactly what you're going to do. I can plead your promises with complete confidence." And that's why the psalmist is so intent on hanging on to God's words. Like a scared child clinging to the ankles of their parents. He's not about to let go in this time of danger. Verse 153. "Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law." I'm not giving up. Verse 157. "Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes." 159. "See how I love your precepts." Why? Because he knows that just like that rope, God's word is going to hold his weight. He knows that salvation is found in nowhere else and in no one else. Verse 155. "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees." Did you see the logic of that? Did you get the logic of that verse? The reason that salvation is far from the wicked is because they're not looking in the word. They're not seeking out God's decrees, which implies that if they were seeking God's decrees, then salvation would not be far from them. You see, salvation is found here in the word of God. That's the only place that salvation is found. And the salvation that is found in God's words is a sure salvation. A rescue that we can rely on because of verse 160. Have a look again, unless it's in your head already. God's words are true and God's words are eternal. There is no other name by which we must be saved. Jesus, who is the pinnacle of God's word, is our only hope for salvation. And because God's word is true and eternal, because it's true and always true, that means that we can be absolutely sure that if we trust in Jesus, we will be saved. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. We can be sure because that's what God's word says. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That's true. And it's always true. We can have complete confidence in God's word. Can I ask you personally, have you ever done that? Again, I'm not just talking generally. I'm not talking to the person who's sitting next to you. I'm asking you personally. Have you ever done that? Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? Have you turned from your sin and turned to Jesus, asking him for forgiveness and submitting your life to him as your Lord and as your King, as the boss of your life? He is the one who died in your place so that you really can be saved. And if you have done that, here's the thing. If you have trusted Jesus as your Saviour and as your Lord, I want you to know that your salvation is sure. Absolutely certain. Not because I say so, but because God says so. Hopefully, by now you can trust the words that I say, but you can definitely trust the words that God says. Because his words are true and eternal. They are true and they are always true. You know, the devil would love to make us doubt. Do you remember what he did in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Adam and Eve to sin? How did he do that? By casting doubt on God's word. By questioning God's word. Did God really say? Can you really trust him? And maybe this morning you can hear the whisper of the devil in your ear, and for whatever reason you're just not sure if you truly are saved. But listen to God. Let his voice be louder. This is what God says in his word. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. That is good news, and it is true, and it is always true. There will never be a time where that fails to be true or stops being correct. You have been born again, God's word says, through the living and enduring word of God. Jesus has taken on himself the full burden of your sin. The rope really can take your weight. So when you see in God's word a promise of salvation, you can be sure that it really is true. And we need to... Sometimes, you know, this thing called grace, right? Grace is such good news that sometimes we're not sure. Like, it almost seems too good to be true. When he says, look, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Trust him as Lord. And you'll be saved. It's like, is that all I have to do? Is it really that easy? And we can have complete confidence that when God says, do those things and you'll be saved, you really will be saved. He is totally trustworthy. And that's just an example. Salvation is just one of the areas that we can be confident in God's word. But God's word is always true, true and eternal, whatever the topic is. So wherever we turn in God's word, whatever you read, even when something does seem too good to be true, even when something seems so far removed from what you're experiencing, even when something is really difficult to get your head around and you just don't understand it, in all of those situations, wherever you are in this book, you can have complete confidence that even if you don't get it, it really is totally true, because God's words are true and eternal. Totally trustworthy. Unchangingly true. Do you know, in that way, God's words are unlike anyone else's. Isn't that right? Could anyone else say, in fact, if you can say this, stick your hand up this morning. Can you say that your words are always true and unchangingly true? No one can say that, right? We know from experience that people lie. People deceive. Or they tell half-truths. And when we do, we're actually speaking the devil's language, because he is the father of lies. And even when something isn't a kind of purposeful, malicious lie, it's still the case that people's words change. Textbooks get updated as we gain a better understanding of how something works. We don't have perfect knowledge, and so things have to be changed. Terms and conditions change. We know that sometimes, don't we, from our contracts, like our phone contracts and whatever, and they just update the terms and conditions and charge you loads more. It just happens. Tweets get deleted. Verbal agreements are not honoured. Even our own words change. We might say something today that we would never have really said even last week or last year. We change. But not God. What does it say again? Verse 160. All of your words are true. Your righteous laws are eternal. And so I hope this gives us a renewed confidence. It's a very basic thing, right? God's word is totally trustworthy. But I hope it gives us a renewed confidence in God's word. There are those who think, even within church circles, there are those who think that God's word kind of needs to be updated for today's world. That there are a certain parts which just don't quite work in today's society. And so we need to either take them out or soften them up, tone them down. Otherwise, we're not going to connect with people. But God's words are true and they are always true. Maybe you think, as you think about reaching your own friends with the good news of Jesus, and I hope that's on your radar still, that you're praying every day for people in your community, at your workplace or at your school, people that you know who don't yet know Jesus, and you long to open up the Bible with them and share Jesus with them. That's something we're all called to do. And as you think about building those relationships and telling people about Jesus, perhaps there are parts of God's word that you kind of want to compromise, because otherwise you're going to scare them away. God's words are true, and they are always true, unchangingly good. And so we must have confidence in God's word that it is going to do what it's supposed to do, that God's word works, that we can be confident in the Bible as it is, to draw people to Jesus, even in 21st century Britain. Don't compromise on the word. Take confidence in God's word in the way that we speak to people outside of the church, but also in the way that we encourage one another within the church family, each other. And maybe someone in church life shares something with you, a struggle that they're going through, or a particular issue that they just want to talk about. And often in that situation, our knee-jerk reaction is to kind of just try and give them some good advice. And so we share our own sort of wisdom and ideas and our own experiences with whatever it is that they're talking about. And we think, yeah, you know, I'm going to help them. And perhaps in that situation, we even think about opening up God's word, but we think, do you know what, I'm just not sure that it's really going to help in this situation. But God's words are totally trustworthy. They are true and they are always true in any situation that someone finds themselves in. And so let's have confidence rather than trusting our own wisdom. That's silly, right? Have confidence instead to open up God's book and let God speak into those situations. We can have complete confidence in God's word because it is totally trustworthy. I mean, just think about your own experience. Have you ever found God's word to be lacking? Have you ever found God's word to be lying? No. Complete confidence. Totally trustworthy. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. And so we can have complete confidence in his word, but also complete confidence in his character. Here's the second thing. Let's see if this is working. There you go. Complete confidence in God's character. So as the psalmist suffers, as he longs for salvation, he doesn't just appeal to God's word, he also appeals to God's character, which he has discovered in God's word. So his hope is not only based on what God has said, but who God is. He is a God of compassion. Look at verse 156. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. You see, he asks for preservation in the context of compassion. What a beautiful thing that our God is compassionate. His heart is not a rock. He is easily moved to love and mercy. Someone who listens when we call for help. God is not a nasty school teacher just waiting for any opportunity to hand out detentions. He is a father who cares when his children cry. A God of compassion. A God of love. Verse 159. See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life in accordance with your love. Do you see? He appeals for salvation on the basis of God's love. His faithful covenant care to him. This week, Zach asked me why I wear this ring. And so I told him, it's to say that I'm going to love Mummy forever. I wear this to say I'm going to love Mummy forever. And so we got home and he demanded that we make him a ring for himself, a paper ring, because he says, I want to love Mummy forever too. You know, the Bible describes God as a loving husband, someone who has got the ring on his finger and it's never going to come off. Even when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful to his promises of love. You know, if this truly is our God, if God is who we've talked about him being this morning, if he is this God that Moses saw revealed on that mountain, if he's the God that we've been singing about, if he's this God of love and compassion, we really can have confidence in his character. And here's the thing, we can be sure that this is who God is because of verse 160. All your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal. You see, God's character is revealed in God's word. It is in God's word that we find that he is compassionate and loving and slow to anger and abounding in love, a God of justice and grace and all of these other things as well. It is in God's word that we discover who God is. And because God's word is true and always true, we can be sure that God still is the God that the Bible says he is, because he hasn't changed. Again, so unlike anyone else. People change, for better or for worse. Tweets are deleted because opinions change. Politicians change parties. Sports people change clubs. People change their beliefs. Our characters go up and down. They're not steady and stable. Over time, perhaps you develop new characteristics. Maybe as you become an old man, you've become grumpy. Or maybe, you know, you grow in resilience. Or you develop some other... We're not the same every single day. We go up and down and you're not quite sure always what you're going to get. Think about your boss or your teacher. And you go in each day and you're not quite sure whether they're going to be in a great mood or a horrible one. It just depends what they've had for breakfast that day. Or, you know, what's going on in their life. With people, you're never quite sure what you're going to get. But with God, we know exactly what we're going to get because he is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can have complete confidence that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how hard we fall, the rope is still going to hold. God is a God of compassion and a God of love. He was yesterday, he is today, and you can be sure that just as surely as the sun rises tomorrow, God is still going to be a God of compassion and love. Have you heard, sometimes you hear of husbands who divorce their wives because they say, I just don't love her as I did before. You don't have to worry about that with God. No matter what it is you've done, no matter how hard, how you feel, no matter whether you feel like you've loving God or not, he is a God of faithful love. We don't need to doubt his love, nor do we need to doubt his power. Perhaps we think, do you know what, I'm not sure that God can really do today what he's done before. I've seen in the Bible and I've seen in history that God can do amazing things, but I don't really think that he can do the same kind of things today. He is the same God as the Bible because he is the God who is true and eternal, true and always true. And that's why the psalmist can pray with such confident expectation. Rock climbers are calm even when they're on the edge because they know that their equipment is going to hold their weight. And when we pray, we can have that same kind of confidence. And so I invite you, whatever situation you find yourself in, to pray based on the word of God and the character of God that you are absolutely sure about because God's word is true and unchanging. And so you can pray, this is who you are. This is what you've said. And therefore, this is what I ask of you. And so we see again that Psalm 119 points us forward to the Lord Jesus. It was written so many years before Jesus. But we see that God's word is totally trustworthy, true and always true. And again, that points us forward to Jesus. Jesus is, think about it, he is the eternal word of God. He is the one who John 1 tells us came full of grace and truth so that he might bring salvation to those who cry out in their distress. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. He is true and he is eternal, true and always true. It is Jesus who reveals God's character to us. And if you read the story of Jesus' life, you will see his character is marked by love and compassion. His heart is not a rock. Think how easily he was moved to help the crowds, feeding them with the words and with bread. Think how readily he went to the cross, treated as a wicked man despite his sinful life. And as he hung there, it was almost like verse 155 applied to him. Salvation was far from him, so that by his death, we can have complete confidence in a sure salvation. And remember, Jesus is true and always true. He is true and eternal. And because he's eternal, we know that death would never hold him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever because he is alive. So do not fear. The rope will hold your weight. Our God and his words are totally trustworthy. Which means we can have complete confidence in this precious book. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Our great God, we praise you that you are a faithful God who never changes. You are true and eternal. And so we can fully trust your words. And fully trust your character. Help us to love you more. Help us to trust you more. Give us a complete confidence in who you are and what you've said. And we ask that as a result of today, you would stir our hearts and strengthen our resolve to turn to your words and to trust it in every situation. We praise you for your faithful love to us shown in the Lord Jesus. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he ever lives, and therefore we have complete confidence. We worship you in his name. Amen.